to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband, still in love with his wife, trying to reconcile with her, missing her terribly. I did send a couple of videos over the weekend, and I think one of them deserves a little more explanation, because when I talked about the two crosses, Jim Cross and Jack Cross, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 6:11. One of the things I've been fairly convinced of for a long time, we have the passage in Matthew and is it Luke or is it Mark? Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you. That kind of stuff. And because I think what you can see, and I don't think this is hard to see, a lot of people will get into the Christian club and try to say, I'm in the club. I do a lot of fancy things. Go Sunday morning and whatnot. I've made a prayer and so forth. The analogy I frequently use is I've said the Shahada in Arabic. I did it very poorly, and I had to go word by word, but I did it in order to, one, break down the barrier between me and a Muslim. The other thing is it demonstrates that, yes, I've said the Shahada, a requirement to be a Muslim. However, I'm not a Muslim because I said it, but I don't believe it. And I think that's the point of that is the analogy that the follower of Christ or a person who claims to be a Christian may not believe it. So saying you do it and it's the detailed discussion about, you don't get there by works, but if your works don't reflect obedience to Christ, then there's a problem. But when you look at the aura of people involved in a Christian institution, and they base their salvation effectively on the institution and their deeds toward the institution, but not on love, not on obedience to Christ. I think those are the people who will say, didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? When I look at 1 Corinthians 6, that list in 9 and 10 is all the things that the church attender will look at and say, oh, those things are terrible. Those are bad. If you do those things, you're ended up in hell. Well, probably most of them will. But that's that verse 11, and such were some of you. The important thing is I think the foundational issue is then it's you were washed, you were cleansed by the Spirit of our God and so forth. The statement there is that it's not that you've cleaned your act up. It's the Lord cleaned you up. And that I think is vital. Because there are going to be a whole bunch of people who have gone through those lists and verse those foul deeds in 9 and 10 and stand before the Lord redeemed. Spot or blemish, be able to stand before the Lord and celebrate his grace. I mean, the obvious example is King David. Because King David spent a lot of time repenting. I mean, you can see that in the Psalms. You can see that in many places. Even though he was a foul, disgusting sinner and did a lot of the things that you see in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. But he also did 11. And, those who don't are, I would claim, faithless. They claim faith in the institution. They claim faith in a deed, a confession of faith or something of that nature. They don't claim faith in the Lord. Because again, faith, trust, and belief have the same root word in Greek. So if you say, well, I'm kind of on one, but not on the other, if you don't trust the Lord, if you don't truly trust the Lord, you don't really believe him. And if you say, okay, I trust, but I'm not going to go to a certain degree, that I think you would be described as faithless. And we have obviously the Revelation 21:8 on that. It's a big deal. And as I think about Jim Cross and Jack Cross, it seems to me if I would expect to see one person of those two redeemed, standing before the Lord redeemed, right now I'd say it'd probably be Jack. Because he has a very clear, foul, disgusting sin. The arsenicoite that I mentioned in the video, described in 9 and 10. But he can repent of that. I would suggest it's a whole lot harder to repent of pride. No, I won't reconcile with you because you're beneath me. You appeal, but I won't reconcile with you because I think you're bad. That's not showing love. It's not showing, I would suggest, a faith in Christ, a trust in Christ. And that's why I really have this sense. You know, it's just a sense. It's not a thus saith the Lord. But if I were to stand before the Lord redeemed and look at others standing before the Lord redeemed, I really think it's more likely to be Jack than Jim Cross. That's not trying to be an insult. It's trying to observe and be a student of Scripture to try to understand the heart of God. Because I've grown quite convinced. You know, he's after your obedience. And obedience is shown by love. Loving him, loving your neighbor. Jim Cross doesn't do that. Jack has a problem in that area too. But there is a very clear listed sin for Jack. In that 9 and 10, you don't see quite that same thing about, no, I'm not going to deal with you attitude. You see the coward. Again, Revelation 21:8. I'm reaching out to both of these guys because they're both human beings created in the image of God. They have the same worth before God materially as I do. Redemption is the choice of the Lord, period. And I think you can see that. You can see redemption by the fact that he allows you to go through tribulation, persecution, and have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't think you find that in the institutional church, or it's rare, put it that way. And if you can't live in love, I think you got a problem. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm trying to be observant. It would be my joy to celebrate with Jim Cross, with Jack Cross, the grace of the Lord together while we have breath. But even if it doesn't happen, I pray for both those guys that they celebrate Christ, truly celebrate Christ as a repentant, redeemed man. My lady, I love you.